Hey friends, welcome to Naked in Truth, the podcast that's designed to open up your mind, to help you break down walls and barriers in your life that you might not even know exist yet. But don't worry, every wall that we break down together on this podcast allows you the opportunity to level up and create your impact. With that being said, I think it's time for us to get honest, vulnerable, and naked in truth. Welcome back to the Naked in Truth podcast. It is your host and your coach, Sari D, and I am here today with another fellow coach who is also my best friend, Jess Mokirk, and we are so excited to bring an epic podcast episode to you guys today. We are going to be spilling the tea on PEDs, okay? So, Jess, do you want to get into some of your competition background? You know, just let them know where your experience has been, what you've kind of competed in, because she's got an extensive little history on her, let me tell you.
Okay, well, first, I've been in fitness for like many years. And when I first got into competing, I never really thought about gear.
Yeah.
We'll call it gear.
Yeah. Okay.
Until, I don't know, I was probably 3 or 4 shows in and it became more prevalent that
people were jumping on it.
And not just people, but women. Okay. And I never really thought about it. I never, just given my genetics, and I seem to put on both fat and muscle quickly. So I never thought about being like big, you know, like getting, but when it came down to PED use, it was more so for the conditioning and the hardness that piqued my interest about it, but never really considered it.
You were like noticing people on stage that they were starting to have like a bit of an advantage. Cause like, what year did you start competing? Do you remember?
My first year was 2012.
2012. Okay. So this is like back in the day when really like bikini was not like what you currently see now for what they're looking for like muscular structure. Like a lot of it was really women being able to kind of be beach ready.
Yeah.
And hit the stage in bikini, right?
That year was the second year that bikini actually came to stage.
Wow.
I think 2011 was when bikini was first introduced to the IFBB.
So like, just because a lot of these listeners probably have like, you know, watched the Arnolds recently, maybe the Olympia last year, they're seeing all these different competitors, like, you know, Laura Lee, she's got a great physique, but a lot of muscle density compared to what you were seeing back in 2011, 2012, right?
For sure. Yes.
And so as those years started kind of going on, was it quite a quick trend that you started to notice that people were getting a different shape than what you knew that people could get naturally?
Oh, 100%. I started with bikini. I placed dead last in my class and I was devastated. So after that, I swore I would never compete again. And then I just went back into the gym. I did my thing. And then people were saying, you know, why don't you try figure? Because you have the balance and all the things and you're muscular, you know? So I decided to go into that category. Now, when you go into when you switch that category, you're going to notice a huge difference in musculature, like symmetry and size, right? They're two totally different classes.
100%.
And, I don't know if I was naive or, I guess naive would be the word for it. When I started accelerating the career of the sport and advancing, when I would show up at these shows, I was like, what am I doing here? Looking at these girls and comparing myself to them, obviously, and seeing like the huge difference. I'm older, so I have the muscular maturity.
Yeah.
So that helped me at my, you know, age of getting into the sport, but showing up these shows, it blew my mind.
And so for a lot of people listening, like, you might not know the differences between bikini, between figure. And even though you're looking for symmetry from top to bottom, it's a completely different type of symmetry. Okay. looking for a lot more muscle density. You're looking for more of an X frame, right? Where you're still trying to keep things quite feminine in bikini. You know, you're looking for the shoulder cap. You're looking for some glutes. You're looking to still have a bit of legs, but nothing like what you're looking for in wellness, where it's that next step up from bikini, where you're no longer looking to be symmetrical anymore. Yeah. You're making sure that that lower half is larger than your upper half, still looking for really nice shoulders, keeping everything nice and toned. But like when you start stepping into figure and physique, it is completely different than bikini or wellness. So the fact that you were able to be able to see that you had that potential to keep growing is really inspiring, because a lot of people can't pull off those divisions, right? And so
naturally in an open,
that's the thing.
I've only ever competed in open.
Really?
And people ask me, like, I think like, I guess the competitive and cocky nature of myself, if I'm being honest, you know, when I did these shows and I was starting to do well and placing, I was like, why would I need to start PEDs if I'm stacking up against these girls who do?
Yeah.
So now, you know, as I'm looking at competing and everything, it's, I don't think I would stand a chance just due to how much it's evolved in that,
That's the thing, right?
That regard. So, you know, it's a different ball game that you're playing in.
Yeah.
I will share the story of how, like, I knew they were out there. Yeah. I knew they were a thing. Could you say for certain that someone was using them? Absolutely not. Like, that would be just conjecture and complete judgment on my behalf 100%. If I said that, right? And usually when people say, oh, you're on gear, a lot of the times it can come from a place of insecurity that you don't have the physique that they do, or, you know, the conditioning or the 100%. Hardness or the graininess. But it was a show in BC. It was a national show and I was getting tanned, and the tanner said, oh, so you're natural. And I said, how did you know that I was natural? And she's like, oh, and she took her gun, like her tanning gun, and she pointed it at my vagina.
There's no other way to label this.
And I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she's like, oh, you didn't know, like, one of the side effects? And I was like, I don't. And she's like, well, a female's clitoris will grow, and in my job, I see it because I'm right up in that, right?
Because for those of you that don't know, you're tanning naked, okay? It wasn't that Jess was just like naked in front of this lady. You are in a room where a lot of the time you're naked with everybody else around you, okay?
Yes.
So just keep that in mind in regards to where the gun, why the gun is being pointed at the vagina and how she can see that nothing has outgrown that area, okay?
Every nook and cranny needs to be like Oompa Loompa brown or orange.
Yeah.
And there's tents, like, let's just say there's tents that you're standing in. You're not like everyone's standing in a row and everyone's painting you and stuff. It is, there is a level of privacy. However,
to a degree, right? Yes. Because as you're drying, your arms are up like this. So unless your back is turned, because everybody can see in each other's tents, you know, either you have the choice for everybody to look at your boobies and your vagina, or you have the choice for everybody to look at your ass.
Yeah.
So, you know, depending on your confidence level.
The Arnold's though, everyone was lined up against the wall with fans. Yeah. And you just, everyone just kind of just turned in a line and just like,
and quarter turned to the right. Right.
Literally. Like, you were standing there with probably 20, 30 people.
Wow.
Along a wall, and everyone had a fan.
Okay.
And there's like, you have to be comfortable in your own skin.
100%.
Like, it's, yeah. So anyway, so she told me this and I was completely like I said, naive. And then she's like, she even said this, when you get out of here, just take a peek. Just take a peek around the room. And it's,
I want you guys to think of too, like, you go and buy a red car, and then all of a sudden you go out of the lot and all you can see is a red car. Like, you just never realized that there were so many red cars on the road. Right.
But I think what's important to note about what I'm about to say is that females that you would never think were on something.
Yeah.
We're on something.
Damn.
And you can't not unsee what you've seen. And you're looking around with, you know, because now you know, and you're looking around like this, but all your peripheral sees is this.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. Okay. And then you're also in like a shell shocked state of mind. Like, what? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it.
Totally.
And it's not a, easy thing to hide, you know, for in a room such
in
as
in a
that.
Room while yes. you're naked, right?
Yes.
For sure.
And I think too, that just solidified for me, never doing it.
Yeah.
Never doing it. I don't need different female parts of my body altering themselves.
Yeah.
That was like a personal choice for me. And I don't like, I want to preface to say that I don't give a fuck what anybody else's choices is. I don't care. This was just my personal choice. And I'm already a thick, muscular girl. I don't want to be just for a stage.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live my life in a body I'm comfortable with. I don't feel the need to put on a shit ton of muscle so that I can stand on stage a couple times a year. That's not my jam.
Well,
you know?
Because like another big thing with what she's saying here is that like staying stage lean all year round isn't possible, isn't smart. And so what she's saying as well is like, it's not just like the mass while she's actually competing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mass that she would be carrying on in that improvement season where you have to be uncomfortable, right? You know, yeah. like when we're looking at shaping our bodies the way that we are as bodybuilders, natural or not, like buying clothes is already so hard to do.
Yes.
So in those off seasons, you can get really uncomfortable because they simply don't make clothes a lot of the time to mm-hmm. fit your shape, right? Especially when it comes to things like jeans,
jackets?
Right? Bras. Like,
yeah, like,
you know, like I can't even imagine with your lat spread, like how wide
have,
the band ends up
I have no
be,
boobs,
right?
Okay. Like we're talking like an ounce per titty. and I have to get like a medium up because of my back.
Yeah.
So imagine having a strap that fits your back, but the cups don't fit your boobs.
100%. You can only go so small and so wide, right?
And just jeans, the same thing. Like,
100%.
Like, I don't know if there's anybody in the fitness industry that has an easy time buying jeans.
No, shorts,
know?
Even bathing
yeah.
suits sometimes, right? Because like the waist to hip ratio that you're looking to build, that you're looking to keep, really just isn't something that they're building in the fashion industry, you know? And I
yeah.
hope that that's something that they decide to start catching up to. But I want you guys to know that the basis of this podcast is for us to tell our stories about being natural competitors
yeah.
in a world where there's so much peer pressure and really the fact that a lot of people want to do things as quickly as they can. You know, I think a lot of what we're seeing with younger people jumping on PEDs so young is not even just being naive, but also a lack of confidence and thinking that, you know, with what we're always seeing on Instagram and everybody being like
yeah.
the top notch that you could ever possibly see, that they're inferior and not feeling good about themselves unless they can get to that point. And, you know, we've had experiences in our journey as bodybuilders where we have even felt that way, where we have contemplated doing PEDs, which is why we're here spilling the tea about our stories in regards to why we chose not to go that route. Because I know that there's a lot of people out here, whether you're choosing to bodybuild or not, you know, the gym nowadays, I can't believe how many young people are in there, which is great to see so
yeah.
many young people in there. Like back in the day when I was that age, we were all partying, right? We weren't thinking about getting physical exercise. But where the issue comes into it is all of these young people being on PEDs and steroids. And
mm-hmm.
it's to a point where it's extremely concerning because they're just starting training. They're jumping on it. They're ruining their natural potential where if
mm-hmm.
they choose to want to go and do PEDs later down the line, they'd actually have more advantage because they gave themselves a chance to reach their natural potential. And
yeah.
you look at people like Jess who competed for so many years, made it to some really cool places in regards
yeah.
to competing as a natural competitor. And that's what this whole point is about, is that you can do great things still being a natty. You know, there needs to be a spot for natural bodybuilding still. You can still
mm-hmm.
be a natty and go and step on the stage in an open, right? Like there is a lot of people who take a lot of PEDs and don't look that great.
Mm-hmm.
It is not always going to be a guarantee because we both know that whether you're natural or whether you're not, if you want a great physique, you need to make sure that you're putting in the work.
100%.
It's
like,
not
it's
that
not,
you can just take these things.
It's not a magic potion. I mean, to a certain degree. Yeah, sure. But
and we'll get into that.
We were saying yesterday when we were discussing this, like if you are taking PEDs, sometimes you need to be working harder because your body responds differently to stimulus in a sense that your recovery is quicker. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can train longer, harder, and you don't necessarily need the rest that a natty would need. And then, but again, that's a flip side. It's catch 22 with people who are natural. It's like, well, they're training this hard. I need to be training this hard. If they have the gear, then I need to train
10 times harder.
Exactly.
Right?
But it's a totally different, and that's where everyone kind of gets confused with it.
And ends up hurting themselves or just switches over to PEDS because they feel like they're not able to put in that same work ethic, right?
Exactly. And like you were saying before with the young people, like when I was coming up, I had Oxygen magazine and I think Fitness or Muscle and Fitness. That was my Instagram. It wasn't in my face 1,000% of the time.
Exactly.
So I took my information from there and I judged myself on my work ethic. And I wanted to get to a certain point. I didn't have all these fitness models in my face constantly. Like it wasn't a huge...
It wasn't like, in such an abundance either, right?
Yeah. So it wasn't, what I'm trying to say is it wasn't an urgency. Mm. I gave myself time. I read on bios of these certain athletes that I was inspired by. You know, I look at their age, how long they've been doing this for. And that gave me a sense of comfort. Be like, okay, I'm on the right track. Just keep going. Just put in the years, put in the work. And eventually I'll get to a point where these women ended up, right? Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, I'm seeing this 22-year-old. That's even old in terms of the fitness industry. Like there's girls like competing at 18. There's girls who are fitness models sponsored by all these companies at 20.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's very hard not to compare yourself to these girls who are putting up all this content, all these photo shoot pictures, you know, and they look like this 24/7. Mm-hmm. And so the self-esteem and the urgency to want to look that way has increased. And we live in an age of instant gratification. Everything is at our fingertips. Everything is now.
We want it as fast as possible.
Yes. So it's very hard to tell someone to just slow it down when that is so constantly in their face.
Put in 10 years of hard work, right? People aren't even wanting to do a year of personal training, right? Because they think, oh my gosh, that's a long time.
Yes.
Not realizing that health, whether you're bodybuilding or not, is a lifelong journey. Like this isn't just a 1 year that you put effort into looking after yourself. Like this is something that you need to do forever, right? No matter whether you're natural or not. And I think that a really big point to make too is that when we're talking about these types of things, like you're immediately thinking of bodybuilders, you're immediately thinking of people who you can evidently see has a large amount, like a non-natural amount of mass to them. Whereas,
and it's the, can I say dick skin on here?
Yeah, you can definitely say that.
For women especially, it's the, their skin is thin, like dick skin. Okay. Dick skin thin is something, it's a term we use in the fitness industry. Naturally, you can't get that hardness and that tightness to the skin. It's very, very difficult, especially for a woman. So that's an indicator as well. It's that tightness that they seem to emulate all the time.
Absolutely. And you know, like what I want to note on too, though, is that a lot of the time these people don't look like you'd be able to peg it out. They look like they're extremely fit. They just look like, damn, you can hold a 6-pack or an 8-pack. You got veins popping. You got great shoulders. You know, like there's no fat that I can really pinch off of you. And a lot of these people looking at these fitness models, bodybuilders, coaches, that they're thinking like, I want to be like them. But yet I'm putting in this work. I've worked so hard. My calories are low. I'm not resting, thinking that they need to do all of this extra work. And they can't figure out how, like, even in years, how do I still not look like these people? But the thing is that when it comes to performance enhancing drugs, there is an array of them on the market. Like, let me tell you, especially since the time that you really started seeing it come through in the women's divisions right back in 2012, what would be on the market then versus what's on the market now, not even comparable, right?
No.
Like there is seriously an agent for everything. And what we want to like note on too is like, think of some of these professional sports, right? Think of like Michael Phelps, right? You look at Michael Phelps, another one that you brought up was
Lance Armstrong,
right? Like you look at these dudes and you're not like, wow, like you're insanely jacked. They just look like they are fit athletes. They're athletes for their performance. But what they were taking enhanced their performance and allowed them to do better. And it's the same thing when it comes to bodybuilding, is that it's not necessarily all about the physique transformation, like what Jess was saying. Like recovery is a huge thing. If you can push a harder load and you can work your body that much harder, you're going to be able to get that much more results, right? You're especially when you're looking at things like human growth hormone, being able to grow your muscles larger than what you typically would, because any real personal trainer and coach is going to tell you, like, there becomes a time where when you first get started, you're going to notice all of these gains coming through. We refer to them as newbie gains, but the older you are, the more challenging it is to put on muscle. The longer that you've been in the game, naturally,
it's hard.
The harder it is to put on muscle.
Very hard.
You start losing that ability from the simple processes of your body breaking down as it continues to age, right? It really is the truth that you really peak when you're 30 and the rest just kind of starts dissipating from there, right?
Hi.
And it's sad, but it's not something that needs to scare you to a point where you think that you need to go and absolutely transform your life, jump on substances that are a lot of the time being regulated by people who don't know a lot about them. Because this has become such a trend, like there are very far and few between coaches when you think of the mass of coaches out there that know how to properly regulate what your schedule should look like throughout a time period, because you shouldn't be on the same thing all the time. Your doses are supposed to be changing. You're supposed to have different supplementation and even nutrition with it, depending on what you're taking, depending on what cycle you're in. And a lot of these people are extending their cycles too long. They're going to people who are untrustworthy, like exactly like a street drug where it's like Russian roulette. You don't know if what you're getting is what you're always going to get, right?
They sell you everything and anything, get you hooked on it, because you are going to get hooked on it. There's a lot of, you know, I want to also say, like, I am not at all educated in the field of, like, I know about them. I know
we both
them,
are not
certain things, like, but I couldn't tell you, like, nothing about them, to be honest. Like, I know what they are,
yeah,
you know, but I do know from my own research and everything, like the consequences, which if you are at all considering doing them, you need to be doing some research, like heavy, heavy research. Don't let someone tell you, oh, you should try this, this, and this. If you, like, if someone tells you to take a fucking vitamin, look that up, see why you should be taking that vitamin. If it's going to be right for you, it doesn't matter what substance it is, whether it's considered healthy or not.
Yeah.
Always educate yourself, do your own research.
People telling you to eat a certain style.
Yes.
These are all really important things to figure out of what's best for you and why would that be beneficial to you?
And why aren't you, with all the information we have at hand, why aren't you looking at it? And I'm not talking even about article reading. I'm talking about forums. Get in to see what other people are saying about their experience. You need to make a well-rounded, holistic opinion or a decision for yourself.
Yeah.
Just because you see one person, it's just like Ozempic.
Yeah.
Like, what, it worked for one person, and people, like, who doesn't want to lose fat?
Yeah, for sure.
So everybody's going to jump on that right away. Like, oh, easy way to lose fat. Do you look at the consequences of that drug?
100%.
And like with the steroid use, PEDs, gear, however we're going to label it today. it's the consequences that it just blows my mind. I see so many girls when they start out in the fitness industry and then they get identified as this fitness influencer. Mm-hmm. And they are young. Like, we're talking 20 to 23 years old. And then 6 months later, they're in a off season or their improvement season. And it's visibly clear they've decided to start going on something. And my heart breaks for them, because what if the internet just one day crashes? Mm-hmm. Who are you then? Who are you?
And why did you make that decision? Was it for you?
Yeah, exactly. You like, even myself, just given my history of how I came up and, you know, popularity and all the things, the pressure to stay a certain way is palpable. Like it is soul crushing. It affects your mental health to a degree. We're not going to talk about that today, but and I'm old and I know myself and I've been through so many experiences that I can handle that for myself. But these young girls, like I said, it's heartbreaking because I'm scared even in 5 years down the line, they're going to be like, I fucked up.
Yeah.
I fucked up. And
I can't change this now.
You can't. Irreversible for women.
Yeah.
Irreversible.
Yeah.
Like jawline, body hair, acne, voice changing.
Don't even get us started on your hormones, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, that's all those markers, right? Yeah. You can't reverse that. If you aren't considering that for yourself and if you are, great. If that's fine, do you. Mm-hmm. But if those are things you want to live with as you get older and when you're no longer in, like you're doing fitness now for your lifestyle, not to impress people mm-hmm. or sell something or, you know,
try to find a confidence in you that is lacking, that is actually a mental thing, not a physical thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that these changes in these substances that you're jumping on can actually affect your mental health, which we are going to be touching on in part two.
Yes.
But the truth is that if you haven't listened to our first podcast together, you're going to need to go back. It's like, I think one of the first 10 podcasts that I dropped, that we did a podcast episode together where Jess goes over a little bit of her history talking about body image, because I know that she keeps mentioning in this that she's old. And so if you're watching this on YouTube, I know you're probably like, what is this chick, 28? So I would like for Jess to just let everybody know her age, because I think it is a great determining factor of how great you can look, how fit you can continue to be, that you can be a natural and still be astonishingly fit at a later age in life, which I still wouldn't call it that late, but people are going to look at you and be like, damn, there's no way that her age matches how she looks. And that in myself is a really good indicator of the information that we're saying is true.
Yes.
That looking after yourself matters.
What is it, March
13th? It is March 13th.
I will be in 2 months, I will be 39 years old. I'll be 39. And, you know, a lot of times I feel my age, of course, because this lifestyle, when you push as hard as you do, you're going to feel things. But for the most part, I don't feel a day over 24.
Yeah.
Is that like, do I reminisce about my glory years or anything? No. Like, I understand my age, and aging is a privilege. You know,
I truly and that's a great way to look at it, for sure.
Yeah. So in order to keep that longevity in my life and to feel young and to look young, mm-hmm. I think that's what everybody wants to hear here is that you can uphold your vitality naturally. And don't get me wrong though, like there's a lot of ignorance on both sides. Mm-hmm. I have been accused of taking steroids more times than I can count in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and blatantly right to my face online. And I know that's a huge compliment, but also because I know all the consequences, I look at myself sometimes and I'm like, Do I resemble somebody who does, or is my voice too deep, or, you know, there's certain things that you go over in
of
your
course.
Mind.
Yep.
But for the most part, I don't care, because I know that I've never done that.
Yeah.
So I will say, and I'm going to be completely transparent, like as far as natural goes, I have tried stuff. Like I think everybody's going to love that. Holy shit. Jessica Mokrick actually took something.
Yeah. waiting for the comments on this one.
Here's the tea.
Yeah, here's the real tea.
I took HGH, the smallest amount that you could take, like not in the purpose of muscle growth. Yeah. It was more of like a recovery. I have hypothyroid. I was getting really bad migraines. So I did a lot of research, and it's like the power drug. It's super, super expensive. I was offered it free to try. I tried it for a month. And I haven't taken it again.
But so, and that's another really just great point of how easily though people do offer you these things, right? Mm-hmm. And people in your circle really do matter. And if she didn't have informed choices, she could have taken a really large dose, continued on with it,
yes,
and changed her entire life, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I did probably 3 or 4 hours at least of research,
yeah,
before I even considered taking even like the smallest amount.
Totally.
So, and now looking back on it, I hate that it ruined my natty status completely.
Yeah.
Did I do it for a show? Absolutely not. I wasn't in a show. I've taken stimulants, but not anything anabolic.
Okay. And so like, could you name a couple of stimulants just in case
just
people
the
are
one.
Wondering?
Okay. I've taken clenbuterol.
Okay.
And
so that's something that is actually found in asthma inhalers. And yeah, when you are a natural competitor, you actually have
a bronchial dilator.
It is a bronchial dilator. Yeah. And you, the blue inhaler, you need to make sure that you are not taking your inhaler too close to when you're actually being tested. So
unless you have doctor's papers.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Unless you have a medical recommendation. It's just things that people don't think of though. Right.
And also like, because of my thyroid issues, I would need to present doctoral documentation of my medication for my thyroid, because T3 is also something
100%.
That people who don't have thyroid problems take.
Yeah.
And that is a huge issue. Do not be taking hormone altering. Like your thyroid runs your life.
Yeah.
So if you're taking something like that and you don't need it, holy God.
Especially like, guys, like this is, these are all synthetic. Like this, it's just the same as birth control. Like, you know, people will tell you like, yeah, it's like estrogen birth control. Okay. But this is all synthetic. This is not the exact same as what your body's producing.
Yeah.
And whether you're using birth control or you're actually using T3, like these are things that are going to affect your hormonal production naturally. Forever now. Like these are things that are going to have implications, because yes, as we mentioned, as you're aging, your body doesn't produce as much of anything as it continues to age. You start having any type of, you know, like synthetic additive being added in there. Well, your body is going to want to become dependent on it to be able to perform the same,
yeah,
as what it did prior. Right.
And it's good that you mentioned the birth control, because I don't think I've met a woman out there who hasn't had a negative side effect from birth control pills.
Well, that's going to be a whole other podcast.
Yeah. We won't get into it.
Because that is a totally something that I'm seeing so much as a coach. And when I'm seeing these negative side effects, encouraging my clients to make informed decisions,
100%.
That when they get off of it, they completely see all of these symptoms minimize. It takes a little bit to reestablish their bodies, but they can get themselves to a point where they're not digging their hole deeper in regards to really negative symptoms that are affecting their quality of life.
Yes.
Because transformations are great. Being muscular is great, but quality of life is everything. And that's what I think a lot
Literally.
Of people don't recognize, right?
Yeah, no, that's, and you don't realize it until it's gone.
100%.
It's one of those things that like, it really rings true. You don't know what you lost until it's gone. You need to have gratitude for every cellular response your body does for you, because the second that it turns on you, you're going to think back to what have I done, you
yeah.
know, or what it's, you need to start to, your body is your Ferrari, treat it like one.
Yep.
But we're going to be talking about the coaching aspect of it in the next one, right?
Yeah, like absolutely.
How we go forward, what we see out there. And
even just a lot of like the mental side that can change depending on what you're taking. And if you are currently struggling with your mental health, because I'm going to be getting into my story as to why I chose not to jump on anything
yes.
at a time where, you know, wellness was really starting to blow up. You're seeing these women start to come to insane physique levels where you're like, I'm never going to be able to make it if I don't.
Yeah.
And I had to make some really big decisions. So we just want to thank you for tuning into this
yeah.
episode. We're definitely going to be doing more of these. I know that you're going to find them very valuable in all sorts of aspects of fitness, health, and literally just looking after yourself mentally and physically, because we both, I think, have a lot of the same outlook when it comes to coaching and how to look after yourself. And there's a lot of correlation, whether you're bodybuilding, whether you're just trying to look really fit, whether you're simply trying to get started into a fitness journey. There's a lot of similarities between the information that you should know to be able to make informed decisions no matter where you're at in your journey. So we just want to say thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. And she even slept over last night. It was
the best.
I did.
So I did. We got to chatting. We were supposed to do this yesterday, actually, but.
So which we would have had more time for you guys, but our chats, they can go long.
And
so
ping, ping, ping. Anyway.
And we're about to get carried off. Yeah. So we will catch you guys on the next episode. And just remember, love always wins.
Oh.
And that's another honest episode dropped. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Naked in Truth, where we come together every Monday morning to set the week off with intention. Don't forget to head over to our Instagram page at Naked in Truth Podcast to stay up to date on future episodes, guest speakers, and other kick-ass info that can help you continue to create your impact. And you know that reviews are so valuable when it comes to building a community of like-minded people. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please drop some love on Apple Podcast reviews and share this episode with someone who you think needs it. Thank you guys so much again for tuning into today's episode. I'll catch you next Monday. And don't forget, love always wins.